This is Brother Billy. I'm going to say good morning to each one of you. Pray the Word of God's going to bless you and help you today. I hope you're looking forward to a great day of worship as the inspirations sing and get us started this morning. I pray you get your Bible down, gather around for the preaching of the old time Word of God. There's nothing like His Word. God said He's held His Word and magnified His Word above His name. The 138th Psalm said, and if God feels that way about His Word, how should we feel about it today? Isaiah chapter 1, if you got your Bible, look there. I'm going to warm up to you a little bit as you get your pages turned, those of you that are able to. So many people we get to meet and talk to that listen to the broadcast. A lot of you listen going down the road, traveling, back and forth, getting to church, whatever be the case. Some of you is on the job, and so you're working, but you're able to get the Word. That's a blessing. And so many of you, you know, I hear from people that talk about listening to the Word and being fed by it and encouraged by it, and I pray that's your case. We sure only want to help you. We don't want to hurt you. We don't want to harm you or offend you, but we just want to encourage you by the Word of God. But the only way we do that is by the truth. And so we can't sugarcoat it, butter it up. We can't make it lily-livered, yellow-bellied. We have to preach the Word of God as it reads, where it reads, to whom it reads, and then God will get the glory and we'll get the benefit. And so God does things. I like what the place said in the Word. Remember, I think it's the 68th Psalm where God talked about Him. The psalmist talked about Him, God, that daily loadeth us with benefits. So many are the benefits of worshiping and serving God. Worshiping and service is different. And so we need to clarify that and understand that. To worship God means we give Him of our gratitude. We honor Him. We magnify Him. And so we're serving God is working and laboring and doing that God's give us to do. And so, you know, we often talk about, you hear this verse so much, you see it on the placards and you see it on the banners, the 40th chapter of Isaiah and the 31st verse said, God talked about those that wait upon the Lord. And God shall renew their strength. And that waiting upon God is twofold. We can wait on God by physically waiting for God to do something. Answer prayer, hear our request, waiting for God to move in a manner. But waiting too is much like the server that waits the table. To wait upon God is to serve God. So that's a good place to see a parallel of what real service is. The Levites had service. God gave them the order of service. And He was very specific about how He wanted it, where He wanted it, who could, who couldn't. Everybody didn't have the same qualifications. And so we're going to find this in the Word. This is going to tie in a little bit to what we're going to be saying today. But God was so weary with the vain service that the Jews, the nation of Israel, was offering up, Isaiah chapter 1. And He said, I'm weary with this. And away with that, God said, get it out of my sight. I'm tired of it. I can't bear it anymore. And so real service cannot be confused with vain worship. Vain worship is destructive. Vain worship is deceptive. And so we have to clarify and we have to realize that God's got a way and what we want is His way. Let's look at the Word. We'll get the choir down. We'll get the inspiration singing down here. And look in Isaiah chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Here God right off the bat, Isaiah lists out that he has a vision of God. God gave Isaiah the vision. And so it reminds us of the place where the Word said, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so if we do not have a prophet, if we do not have one that can see and hear from God, all throughout the Old Testament, God raised up a prophet. And so prophets today, they're still part of the fivefold ministry. And so God's not changed His mind. We still need people. We need John the Baptist in our hour that will cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And then we see this right there in Isaiah 58:1. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Isaiah was the prophet of his time. Jeremiah was the prophet of his day. And God had contemporaries. Sometimes these prophets were doing ministry at the same point in time of history. And that's okay. God can have more than one. And so we find it here that God raised up a John the Baptist. And God raised up those. We see them in our recent history where God raised up prophets to stop the nation and stop the sin and a call back to God. And so we need prophets. We need prophets in the pulpit. We need prophets today that's not afraid to blow the trumpet. We preached this a little while back. We've got to blow the trumpet. The trumpet must be blown, and that's what Isaiah's doing. You know, I pray to God that God uses a broadcast or a TV evangelist or whatever it is. I'm talking about somebody real. I ain't talking about those that's peddling, selling handkerchiefs and oil bottles and prayer cloths. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the real prophet of God that will do nothing but preach God's word. And he will not preach it for compromise or favor. He will not sell out to that God's gave him. He's going to cry aloud and do what Isaiah said, spare not. God told Ezekiel, do not be dismayed at their faces. He said they're going to disfigure their faces when you preach, but don't be dismayed at that. And so here, in the days of these kings, God raised up Isaiah. Now Uzziah preached for, Uzziah was king for many, many years. And so we find that he was on the throne for 52 years. And then Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a faithful king. But God said, I have a word. I have a word for the people. And we want to hear what that word is today before our time gets away. Let's read on. God said, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. God said, here's the problem. The problem is the same problem today. It's rebellion against God. And God will not tolerate it. He will not receive it. And so we find that witchcraft is sin in the eyes of God, and stubbornness is as rebellion. And so God dealt with this. Remember in the life of Saul, God clarified this by the mouth of the prophet Samuel, that witchcraft and stubbornness and idolatry and rebellion, God puts all of these in the same category. And here he said, they've rebelled. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. God said, the cow knows where she gets her corn, and the donkey, he knows where his master's crib is. That's what he's talking about. But Israel doth not know. God said, my people doth not consider. They have forgot that I'm God. They forgot that I've called them. They forgot I'm their provision. They forgot I'm the faithful one that meets their need. Now the ox knows his owner, but God said, my people doth not know. And the ass knows his master's crib. They know where to come home to at night. They know where their provisions come from. But God said, my people doth not consider. O sinful nation, sinful nation, verse 4, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. You know, we are and we have within us the seed of our father. Now, Jesus dealt with those that said, when he said in John 8:44, ye of your father, the devil, the lust of your father, ye will do. He told them that they were the seed of their father. Now, God dealt with this in the first John's epistle. God gave five books to the Apostle John. He gave him John, and he gave him 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He gave him Revelation. But in 1 John, John dealt with this, that his seed, God's seed, remaineth in us. And so we are the seed of our Father. And God said, this is a seed of evildoers. I like that. Children that are corruptors. You know, we need to think about our posterity. We need to think about our seed. How is our children going to go after us? Are they going to go after an example they saw in us that's good, godly, and forthright? Are they going to go in the way of wickedness? Are we going to be the ones that seal the eternal fate of our children by the way we live our lives? Oftentimes people say, well, preacher, I do what I want to do. The preacher don't tell me what to do. My boss don't tell me. My wife don't tell me. But I tell you, your children are watching you. And so we have eyes, the eyes of the little ones are upon us, and we all can think about people when we were small that we looked up to. Did we look up to them because they were right, or did we look up to them because they were wrong? Did we look up to them because they were mean and did things that we later found out were wrong, or did we look up to them because they set a good godly example? And God said, the seed, you are a seed of evildoers. You are a people that's laden with iniquity. And Isaiah is crying out, children that are corruptors, they've forsaken the Lord, they've provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. People wonder today, is backsliding really real? Because oftentimes people do not know what backsliding means. They think it means something that it doesn't. But God compared Israel as to a backsliding heifer. And so Israel is the backsliding heifer who will not be led. And so God's got his lead rope on her. God's getting her where he wants her. But what's she doing? She's digging in her heels and she's backing up. You see this if you've ever worked with show calves or break young horses. You find this, that they dig in and you want them to go forward. And so what do? You apply that gentle, tender pressure until they yield to it. And so here, as that backsliding heifer Israel, God has made it very clear, they are gone away backward. Now, there's one of two things happening. We are going forward or backward in our spiritual walk. We cannot be neutral. There is no neutral. You said, preacher, I'm right where I was years ago. Well, if that's the case, you're going backward. If you're not growing in grace, if you're not growing in your relationship with the Lord Jesus, do not be fooled. Don't let the devil deceive you. We're going forward or backward. And God said Israel's going away backward here. But he said, why should you be any stricken anymore? And why will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. God said, why do ye resist? Why do we resist the call of God, the help of God, the word of God? It's what we need. It's what our children need. It's what fortifies. It's what will enable us to fight the devil. It's what will strengthen us. We resist. Sometimes people resist worship. They don't want to be around worship, but I understand that. If our heart's not in tune with God, we don't want to be around the things of the Lord because our conscience deals with us, but that's a good thing. God said, why will you be stricken anymore? Why do you keep going backwards? God said, I want to bring you over here, but you keep resisting and you keep going backward. The whole head, God said, I'm going to go ahead and diagnose you. Listen, Christ is the great physician. He said, I'm going to diagnose you. And here's the diagnosis. The whole head is sick and the whole heart, you know what's wrong with it? It's faint. When our relationship's not right with God, it makes us faint-hearted. It makes us, our thinking's not clear. And so what happens? Our decisions are not made in the likeness that God would like us to make them in. And so we find it to be true. The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. You know what that is? That's faintness. God told him in the book of Deuteronomy, he said, I will give you faintness of heart. I will cause you to flee when no man pursueth. And that's what Proverbs 28:1 is talking about. He said, the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous is as bold as a lion. God said, I'm going to diagnose you. You got a faint heart. You got a head that is sick. The whole head is sick. And from the sole of the foot, watch now, from the sole of the foot, even under the head, God said, there is no soundness in it. There's no soundness. A backsliding state. Listen, a backsliding church has no soundness in it. A backsliding people has no soundness. An individual, you today, you say, well, I know I've had a great relationship with God, but where are you today? Are you there? Are you where God is fellowshipping with you? Or are you doing like Adam? Are you hiding from the Lord? God said there's no soundness in that. There's no soundness when we go away backward. No soundness when we live a corrupt life. No soundness. Sin always takes us further than we want to go. It always costs us more than we're willing to pay. And it keeps us longer. Write this down. It'll keep you longer, sir. Ma'am, it'll keep you longer than you're willing to stay. And so sin is destructive. God said it's wounds. and it's bruises, and it's putrefying sores. Things today that if you did that to your children, then they would come in and take them and lock you up. God said, you do this. Spiritually speaking, there's no soundness. It's wounds, bruises, and sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up. God said, you're so sin sick. You haven't even ministered to your own needs. Have you ever noticed God made the body where it ministers to one another? Paul dealt with this and he said, everybody's not the eye and everybody's not the ear. And because you're not the eye, do you say to the foot, you have no need? And so he made these correlations that every part of the body is important. And so what happens when you knock a knot on your shin, your hand will go and it'll rub it and massage it and try to make it feel better. And so what happens when you get something, you know, that's wrong, you get something trash in your eye, then you're going to open that eye and you're going to take and flush that. The body ministers one to another. That's the will of God. That's the job of the church, is to minister one to another. That was the job of Israel. God said, your wounds have not been closed. They have not been bound up. There's been no ointment put thereon. And so what happens when you're at work, you'll get the first aid kit out and you'll put a Band-Aid or you'll hold pressure to stop the bleeding and you'll put some ointment on the cut to keep the infection out. God said there's nobody to do that. And the reason is the whole head is sick. And so here we find it, whether it's a family or whether it's a church or whether it's a government, whether it's a nation, God said they're tore up from the floor up. There's a problem. There's no soundness. It's bruises, putrefying sores. Not just a sore, but a putrefying sore. And God said the country is desolate. The cities are burned with fire. And your land, strangers devour it in your presence. He said you're helpless to do anything. Right there in your presence, your whole country is devoured. And God said here, it's overthrown by strangers. And except the Lord of hosts, verse 9, God said, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been likened to Gomorrah. You don't want to be like that. There's no remnant of Sodom and Gomorrah today. And so here, Sodom and Gomorrah, historians say, was right there at the southern point, just south of the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, where nothing lives. There's no life in the Dead Sea, thus the name. There's no life. Fish can't live there because of the salt deposits. And so there's no remnant of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know why? Because God overthrew it. God rained down hellfire and brimstone. And we talk about the lava that's slowly creeping and devouring houses today in Hawaii. That's an amazing thing to watch the video of how that hot lava slowly but surely makes its way. But I'm going to tell you, God didn't rain down slow lava. He rained down hellfire and brimstone, and he totally consumed that place and left nothing of it. And so all of those that were there, destroyed. All the buildings, destroyed. God rained down hot hailstones, hellfire, brimstones. You can compare that to lava rock in its destructive force. I tell you, it was not slow. It was a very quick judgment. And so God said, go, Lot, and take your wife and your daughters with you, and don't look back. And so just as soon as Lot's wife looked back, she was turned to a pillar of salt. God said, don't look back. And I'm going to tell you, that same call is today, church. It's the same call today. Man, woman, family today that's contemplating leaving, contemplating going back against what God has showed you. There's destruction, and it's swift, and it costs more than we are willing to pay. And Lot's wife, when she looked back, no wonder Jesus said it. He said, remember Lot's wife. And so there's no place to look back. And God said here, except you'd have been a small remnant, God said you'd have been likened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we know what happened. God took this nation that Isaiah is preaching to, and he drove them into captivity. And they were overtaken, and they were dispersed. These 10 tribes were dispersed and have not been relocated today. Now, we know Israel's back, but I'm telling you, God scattered the 10 tribes, and he done it real well. And he said, hear the word of the Lord. Look down to the 11th verse. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? God said, I'm full of the burnt offerings. No more of that. He said, I delight not in the blood of bullocks. I'm tired. Remember we were talking about as we got started how vain worship. God's not interested in vain worship. If it's lip service, it means nothing. If it's just going through a ritual, God's not impressed with that. The incense, God said, I'm full of burnt offerings and I'm tired of your incense. And you bring no more. Verse 13, he said, bring no more the vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. God said, I'm tired of it. The calling of the assemblies, I cannot. He said, I can't put up with it anymore. Away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. God said, there's something wrong. Well, that I have set aside as holy, you've corrupted that too. And so find it now. Watch that. We're getting down to where we want to see it. He said, your new moons and appointed feast, my soul hateth. God said, I hate these things. They're wicked. They're trouble. They are a trouble unto me. And I'm weary to bear them. When you spread forth your hands, God said, I hide mine eyes. Now think about this. People say today, I'll do what I want to do. And as long as I worship right, God will hear me. That's not so. And so when our heart is far away from God, when our relationship is severed from God, God said, the ox knoweth his master. God, he said, he knows his owner, and the ass knows his master's crib. But my people doth not know. And he said, your worship, he said, let me tell you about your worship. I'm not interested in your worship. Matter of fact, your worship troubles me. When we get out of the will of God, we are a trouble. Our rituals are just trouble to God. It's just more grief. It breaks the hearts of God, the heart of God, even more. He said, I'm weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I'll hide mine eyes. When you make many prayers, you know what people say today? They say, well, you know, I prayed. God said, when you make many prayers, you know what I'll do? I will not hear. I won't hear your vain prayers. I think about so many customs today. We have churches that are very customary. And so they go through the same rituals and rites. God's not in that. If you're looking for a church, you find one where the preacher's real, where the word of God's real, where the people are there for one reason, and that's to worship. Listen, we're not judging. Let's don't get into this matter of saying where there's somebody there. You cannot go by that, because we always have people in every congregation that the devil will pick out and say, look at them. We're not talking about that. You find where the word of God's preached. You find where the word is honored, where God's worshiped, where there's life there, and the breath of God's there, and the spirit of God's there. And you cannot judge by everything in the pew. You can't do that. You have to go where you find the work of God being carried forth, and the spirit of God being honored and received, and you worship there. That's what we're talking about here. And so people today, you know what happens? The enemy points. And they say, well, look at that. We can't go by that. And all the years of pastoring, I pray to God that we don't get in the trap of judging every church and every work, every preacher, by what goes on in the pew. No. We as mankind are weak, and we are fallen, and we are sinful. We have to go by the body of work that God is doing through the pulpit and through the leadership of that church, and whether or not God is welcomed. Now here, the Lord said, I won't hear your prayers. It's death. It's death. It's Ichabod. The glory has departed. God said, your hands are full of blood, and wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. God said, cease to do evil. You know how we get back to where God wants us? We do what God said. We quit whatever the destructive pattern is. We quit that. We stop that. We get out of that business. If we've got problems in our heart, then we have to recognize what those problems are And listen, it is not. It's real. If it's a real problem, it's got a real answer. And the answer is ceasing to do evil. Now, you can't do that in your own strength, but by the prayer and supplication, and by asking and believing and confessing and repenting and trusting God, coming back to God, you can. This is what God's saying. He's saying, I will not hear your vain prayers. You know, you'll find something very comparable to this if you go over, and you don't have to do it now, of course, but sometime go over to the book of Malachi, and you'll read where God was just as fed up in Malachi's hour as he is right here concerning vain worship. And so there's nothing that God hates worse than vain worship. You said, what about sin? Vain worship is sin. Vain worship is disobedience. Vain worship is doing that that God hates. He's made it very clear. I won't hear you. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Don't be worried about your brother down the road. Don't be worried about your neighbor trying to fix them. Wash you. Fix you. This is what God's saying. Salvation is to you. Repentance is preached to you. And so every time I preach the gospel to repent, you know who I'm preaching to first? Me. The gospel's to me. The gospel's to you. And so what we do is we try to generalize. This is what the devil does. The devil tries to generalize something that God's saying, and we walk off and say, that was a good message. I wonder who that was for. I tell you who it was for. It was for you. And so every preacher that preaches and labors over the word of God, he wants to say this, whether he will say it or not, I'll say it for him. The message is for you. Quit thinking that everything comes out of the pulpit or comes over the airwaves is for somebody else. It's for you. God's got it for you. And this is what he said. Wash you and make you clean. Wash you. Put away the evil of your doings. I'm going to tell you how personal this is. Salvation is very personal. Aren't you glad? But I want to tell you the call back is personal too. And the call of chastisement is personal too. And it was personal to every one of these families that went away and were led away into the Assyrian captivity. This is the people that Isaiah is preaching to. He is preaching to the people that's going to go away in captivity. He is warning them. Jeremiah warned them, when Nebuchadnezzar gets here, you get on the bus and go with him, because God said go. And they said, we won't go. We're going to stay and fight. He said, don't stay and fight. You're going to lose. God said go. It's a personal message today to you. It's a message to repent. And so this is what God's saying right here. It's a checkup for every one of us, that we take and analyze and internalize this message and check our heart with. It's what God's saying. He said, put away the evil of your doings. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. I'm going to tell you, correction. Correction is what we need. We correct our children because we want them to change their pattern. And God warned those that hold correction. You know, if you hold correction from your child, you hate your son. It's what the Word of God said. And so we're taught and admonished to correct our children, and it's for their benefit. God's saying here, you need to hear the correction. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. God said, go back to the basics. Three things God will never forget. God will never change his mind about the widow, the fatherless, and the stranger. God said you were fatherless in Egypt. Remember that? He said you were oppressed. He warned Israel. He said you were a stranger and bearing the burdens of those Egyptians before God delivered them. And here God has mercy for the widow and the fatherless and the stranger. We see it all throughout the Word of God. Look at 18. We're going to concentrate now on 18 as our time's getting out of here. But see this. Come now, God said, let us reason together. You said, preacher, I don't know how to come back to God. God said, I'm going to tell you how. Come now and let us reason together. God said, I can tell you how. It's coming back to me. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, God said, they shall be as wool. He said, your sins, I will wash your sins. Come now. It's what God is saying today. He's saying it to every heart. Come now, and I will wash your sins. See it, if ye be willing and obedient, God said, ye shall eat the good of the land. Two things God's put his hand on, a willingness and obedience. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God said, come now, let us reason together. What's God want out of me, preacher? He wants you to get along with him. He wants you to get out in the field with him. Get in the closet with him. Get in the woods with him. Get somewhere in the barn, in that quiet place. Get along with God. He said, come now, come to me. It's what Jesus preached. Jesus preached like this. No better spot than Matthew 11:28, when he said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. God said, come now, and let us reason together. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, God said, they shall be as wool. He said, I'll wash your sins. I'll take your sins away. God said, if you'll come, it can be true for you. God said, this is for you. It's for you today, sir. God wants you. He wants to change your home. He wants to make corrections in your life, your family. God wants to do it for you and for me. And he said, but if you refuse and rebel, what's going to happen? Only bad things are going to happen. Ma'am, mark this down. If you refuse God's way, if you do not heed the warning that God has sent you today, sir, there will be destruction. God said, if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Sin will destroy you. It's a destructive pattern that has no mercy on those that yield to it. And this is what God's saying today. God's making it clear that if you refuse and rebel, you're going to be devoured with a sword. Why come? Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God don't want you to be destroyed. He wants you to be touched. He wants you to be helped. He wants you to be ministered to. He wants you to come back. He wants to touch you and work on your behalf. God wants to heal you. He wants to heal up those wounds. God wants you to know the grace of God and the mercy of God. He wants you to understand what it is to be free. Father, take your word today. God, I pray you'll minister to those in need. I pray, God, you'll work as only you can. I pray, God, that your day will touch those and minister to those, Lord, in such a way, God, that they know Christ is real. They'll know that the gospel's right. They'll know there's a way back. They'll know there's healing in the hands of the Master. Make it so in every life. In Jesus' name we pray it. For the glory of God, we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Until we meet again, may the Word of God bless you is our prayer. My Savior, I will meet for the sake of